This is the Don and Mike Show. Would you like to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? Well, then how about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Isn't that something? Thank you, and God bless.
Hi. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
Charlie and Harrigan.
Here we are.
Oh, good pull on that one.
Hi, Charlie. We have some exclusive audio here of Alberto Gonzalez yesterday when he was resigning during his press conference.
Good.
Can we roll that?
Hello, pussycats. I'm coming up for the cheese.
Oh, yeah? I just like to see you trying.
Here, camaradas. There's plenty more.
There he is.
Okay, pussycats, here I come again. Arriba, arriba, andale, andale. Arriba, epa, andale, andale. Yeehaw!
Highlights of his press conference.
Are you nervous, pussycat?
He resigned so quickly.
Charlie and Harrigan.
Charlie Brown. Irv Harrigan.
Here's some more audio of Gonzalez retiring.
Speedy Gonzalez.
Resigning, I'm sorry, resigning.
Adios, senores.
There he goes, right through the door at the Justice Department. That's one of my all-time favorites.
Charlie and Harrigan.
Charlie Brown, Irv Harrigan.
Well, we have no new tape from the Belcher today.
Arriba!
Like starting with a bit of a wacky tape, so I'll offer you a choice.
Yes.
Either. Yes. From our favorites, Michael Hughes is a killer.
Yes.
Or Christopher Walken cooks chicken.
Oh, boy. That's so difficult. I'm going to have to go with Michael Hughes is a killer.
I agree.
You can't. I mean, as much as I love the Christopher Walken chicken tape,
I know.
The Michael Hughes is a classic.
Okay. Tribute to our general manager. Right here.
Charlie and Harrigan.
Charlie Brown or Harrigan.
Which one of them had the jewelry that had the initials?
I think that was Charlie Brown. The big fat guy, wasn't that Irv Harrigan?
Yeah.
And he was the guy that really hated you.
Yes.
And he like came to see you and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Well, his wife called the show one day.
That's what you, and then, because, I mean, they were kind of on the way out and we were on the way in. It was one of those deals.
It was kind of nice. Well, you're a show historian. Yeah. How old were you when this happened, Rob?
No, I have another piece of history to offer. Because you guys always joke, and it's funny how old Charlie, you know, Irv Harrigan and Charlie Brown are, Charlie and Harrigan. And I laughed about it. I said, yeah, they're old. You know, that jingle package is from 1964.
Charlie and Harrigan.
That's old. Charlie Brown.
I almost fell out of
I'm Irv Harrigan.
I was on their show. I played a character on their show. Can you remember the name of the character I played? Only one. I only did one bit on their show.
Really? Is it Nick Sticker?
No.
No.
I don't know. Winthrop Poodlemeyer.
Which guy?
I don't know. I really don't remember.
Don't remember.
I think so. Probably. Sounds like it.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It was a great early moment of cringe radio. I was working at the station BM before Mike. Mike was like hanging around the station. These guys are doing the morning show, and they were getting pushed out. So I'd go to the morning, and Mike would be on with me. And one day, when I was still playing records, I was talking about them, and how bad they sucked. Mm-hmm. And his wife calls.
Oh.
And his wife calls up. And this was in the middle of a Top 40 show.
Yeah.
Right? Like 1984, 85. Put her on the air, yell, scream. Next thing I know, during a record, like 10 minutes later, the guy's out in the hallway. The guy's out in the hallway.
Oh, dear.
And he's saying, don't you ever put my wife on the air again.
It was nasty.
A little tense.
Like she called.
Well, I wasn't just hanging around. I was working for the radio station.
What?
I was the production director.
Yeah, well, Mike, I didn't mean to.
You make it sound like I was waiting out in the parking lot.
I
was out there in my little, of course, that is the true story, that I was out in a little box.
No, in no way did I mean to demean your place on the food chain.
Well, when I was doing, I would come in. I was not a all-the-time employee. I would come in it's an REO Speedwagon weekend.
That's why I said you were hanging around. You were like a contracted guy.
I was a contract player.
From the radio station.
I was an MGM contract player. And they also came to me and said, listen, you do those silly voices. Can you call the Charlie and Harrigan show? And so I would do it from my home. I would call them
nice.
And do these different things on their show, and that was it. And then the rest, as they say, is history. Yes, I spent 16 months on Lee Highway in a box, waiting to be discovered.
Charlie and Harrigan.
Charlie Brown.
Irv Harrigan.
They were, oh, God. You know, and I didn't know. Hadn't we been hyped? You'd been hyped on them, too. They said these guys were the thing. These guys were it.
They apparently, at one point in the 60s, had garnered a rating point in Dallas, Texas. That's what I had heard.
They were going to come in, and I believe that was the Smoky Rivers era.
Where's that tape we have of them? The one tape we have of them.
Where they're talking about themselves?
We're talking about radar detectors, I think.
Right. Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's the best. Yeah, we've got two, actually. Or maybe it's the same tape where they're talking about how old they are.
Both. I think Smokey Rivers and Alan Goodman said they were going to revitalize the station.
And at the time that they said this stuff, how old were they? Were they as old as we are now?
Yeah, older. A little bit older, probably.
And that was some time ago.
Charlie and Harrigan!
One of them was 50.
Yeah, the other one was almost 50.
So this was a call that they didn't... Did they not put this call on the air?
I think they were all on the air. I think anything we have... I'll let you know as soon as you play it.
Anyway, here we go.
But we're about your same age.
That's
I'm 47. I think Charlie is 50. And they've hired us to do a job here to turn this around and get the adults. And by the way, the rating show that we really did, we're doing a super job of it. But we saw this. We saw this HOV. I never liked it to begin with. And I think the whole Virginia thing is ludicrous. You can't have a radar detector. Oh, you know, no one ever fought that?
And the answer to your question, one of them is older than we are, and one of them we are older than.
Which, we definitely have it more together than they do, for God's sakes.
There is no question about that.
If that was their real age.
Yeah. You know, and when you look
Charlie
at them.
Charlie and Harrigan.
Because the one guy could have been 60.
Yeah.
And that was 20 years ago, right?
Right.
Yeah, more than 22 years ago. 22.
Yeah.
More than, almost 23 years ago.
Wow.
I don't know if they're both still around. They might be.
They'd be in their 90s.
They'd be in their 90s.
Imagine
so
that.
That's not making me feel any good.
The DJ home.
That's not making me feel good.
I hope you know right now that somewhere there is a generation that 20 years from now will be playing a tape of this.
Yes.
And mocking it.
Sure.
Like those tools.
Well, hell, we're still called old men on everything, on all the internet. That internet the kids like so
much.
The internet. We've been called old for 15 years.
Charlie and Harrigan.
Not that old, though.
Charlie Brown.
Herb Harrigan. And our general manager, Michael Hughes.
Yes. Without question, that print that was on the cardboard underneath the body of the second victim was, in fact, the fingerprints of Michael Hughes.
Michael Hughes. Investigators check out his background and discover Hughes has a dangerous past and a long rap sheet.
He was 6'2", yep. About 220 pounds, and had a history of violence and sexual assault cases.
Michael Hughes.
Hughes has vanished.
No, he's not. We found him.
But a fourth victim is suddenly discovered in the same area as the first three.
Bill O'Reilly.
Could it be the work of the same killer?
Michael Hughes.
She was found in a shopping cart.
There are differences. This victim was white and obese. Even so, investigators suspect that Michael Hughes is her killer. Police go public with Hughes' photo.
We contacted the local media and identified him as a suspect in the murder.
He had on very gay glasses.
An apartment manager recognizes Hughes as one of his tenants and calls police.
Got a white shirt on.
Once again,
dress shirt.
Michael Hughes has outsmarted detectives.
With his initials on them, embroidered.
To catch Hughes and put him behind bars, investigators will have to unravel the knots of a key piece of evidence.
What's that?
Police are working 24/7, trying to track down a serial killer. Television reports of the manhunt include Michael Hughes' photo. Investigators take a blood sample from Hughes and compare it to DNA samples found on the victims.
What are you doing?
But Hughes throws them a curve.
It was a curveball.
He claims he had consensual sex with the four women.
My
wanted it.
He didn't kill anyone.
They wanted it, MJ. I promise, they asked for it.
So intent on humiliating his victims that even when he killed a 320-pound woman, he figured out a way to move the body and pose it outside.
You remind me of my mother.
The manager of the building where Michael Hughes lived, it's Michael Hughes with the shopping cart.
Radio station.
Moving it out of the
manager of the radio station.
Was found.
Okay.
Michael Hughes' motive is never established during the trial.
Yeah.
And his insanity
Rage.
Plea is unsuccessful.
Rage.
Within a few days, the jury convicts Michael Hughes and sentences him to life without the possibility of parole.
Yeah, but he got out.
He's managing our radio station.
This case deserved a death verdict.
It did.
However, he will not do this to any other women. So the bottom line is that the community is safe from this predator.
No, we're not.
Charlie and Harrigan.
The Don and Mike Show.
That was really a mess. That opening segment. Like pool.
What about the vagina?
Charlie and Harrigan.
Oh my God, Jay.
It's an acid trip. Somebody took the brown acid.
That boy gated in a handbag full of rainbows.
Hey.
Welcome back to What's the Buzz. You may know her as Academy Award-winning actress, but today she's here to talk about a new project on the small screen. We're talking about the talented Holly Hunter and her new TV drama series called Saving Grace. Holly, thanks so much for joining us.
You rock. You whack. I hate you. I hate your big, fat, ball head ass.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I'm not happy.
Uh-oh, Jungle! Jungle.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
This is Jim Rockford. At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
Is there a problem?
Yeah, you never shut up.
I don't know you. Who is this? Don't come here. I'm hanging up the phone. Prank caller. Prank caller.
Prank call. Prank call.
Stupid dick.
All right. A little quiet for Super Jock.
Charlie and Harrigan.
Looks like baby vomit.
Here's Big Ed.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Don and Mike.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome.
Welcome.
It's going to be a great show.
The show is great.
Welcome.
Welcome back to the show.
And, of course, E. Don and Mike Show, and it's Tuesday. Phone number, same as it was yesterday, everybody. 877-365-3636. I would like to start today by appealing to the juvies out there.
Ah, you mean the juvenile delinquents?
I got a question for today's modern roughie.
Yeah, little thug.
I was watching the news, and I saw that people are flipped out on 95. The major highway.
All right.
Because vandals got up on the signs
that
are on top of the highway and put their big, gigantic, cartoon-sized gang logo.
Gang letters. Right. Balloon type.
I've been curious about this for the longest time, and today's a good day to ask. How do you get up on top of that thing, on top of a major United States roadway? And, I mean, these signs are hanging precariously over the road itself.
Yeah.
Well,
wide highway. It's obvious they don't get there from the bottom up.
And
they get there from the top down.
Furthermore, how do they get such fine craftsmanship? Because the artwork for being on a highway sign on top of a highway...
It's amazing.
It's pretty goddamn good.
Lovely. Just like the same artwork you would see on... The sides of trains, but trains are easily accessible.
Right. Yeah.
You see it on the sides of buildings. So obviously they're getting up and over, and they've got the time.
I want to know how.
They've got the time to linger longer.
What I want to know is how you do it, how you stop people from noticing that you're up there. I'm guessing you're hanging upside down or you're hanging on the side of the thing.
Because even at night, they're lighted. They're lighted signs.
Uh-huh. And I'm looking at this on TV, and I'm seeing, you're exactly right, it's like you would see on the side of a building or a warehouse. And really, for a guy that's up on top of a sign, it's pretty good, like cartoon art.
Yeah, it's really good. I mean, obviously, it takes some time.
So this graffiti has no one fought this?
the whole thing is Charlie and Harrigan is ludicrous. You know, I'm 47, I believe Charlie's 50, and the whole thing, I don't get it.
Anyway, that's a serious question I have. Yeah. If you're going to do that,
how do you do that?
How do you do it? How do you pull it off?
Really?
Well, I think that really, even when they do it, even though it's so well done, it is done rather rapidly.
Yeah.
It is done rather quickly. They have a technique to it.
I'd like to know, though.
In the wee hours. And I think there's a cat.
Well, I don't think you're going to find out. I don't think they're going to call in.
Oh, I think they will. Sure they will.
No, they're not.
They'll call on their stolen cell phones.
No, they're not going to call in. They're roughies. Hello. They're tops. They're keeping their secret society going.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's happening?
Not much. How y'all been?
Is this the big man?
Yeah, what's going on, brother?
The guy that we've known for a million years.
Hi there. What's happening, big man?
How you been doing, fellas?
Very well.
How are you?
I just want to, you know, kick back in with y'all. I hadn't talked to y'all in a while.
True.
Been a while. How you doing?
Been a good long while.
So how do you manage to climb up all the way on those signs?
How do you do it?
I do it, man. I do it.
I get it done.
Right, okay. All right, brothers. I just want to holler at you. Get it done.
God bless you.
Saying hi.
Right.
You see skies of blue.
Thanks for checking in.
The big man.
Is your will in order?
Yep. He's been with us since Charlie and Harrigan days.
That's the guy that we sent to the Letterman show. When Letterman was doing the show from NBC, from the smaller studio, we sent him there, and he had Don and Mike written on his chest. Big, huge guy, like 400 pounds.
Him and another guy.
Yeah, one guy had Don on his chest, one guy had Mike on his chest, and they stood up and just opened their shirts. And Letterman did not even
verbally. Other than a sound. He made it. I think it was one of those. Oh.
Yeah, and the camera never went on the guys.
You knew they'd done
it
because there was a legitimate reaction where he looked at him and went, oh, and that was all there was to it.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Radio gods.
Howdy, what's up?
Actually, I was calling in regards to the question that was asked earlier. What it is actually they go and they steal the little seats off the PG&E trucks or the whatever service you guys use out there, and those make it to where you can basically hang from anything, from any little ledge that you can.
Are you talking about
on.
They take the cherry picker and they go over the side?
No, they have these little seats that they're like, it looks like kind of like a swing.
Okay.
And it's just a little seat that you kind of rappel yourself down on. And you can make it to where
Jesus Christ.
If there's an overpass.
How would you do? How would you hold on for 1 second? How would you do that without cars seeing you doing that?
Brass balls, my friend.
Mm-hmm. They just do it for, and they try to hit and run so that nobody's going to see them. Right?
Have you done
Pretty
it?
Much.
Have you done it?
Have I? No.
Okay. Let me see if we get a real one. Get us a real roughie, a real gang member.
Well, I don't doubt that he's accurate with that. That's probably how they do it. They just strap it over the side.
Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
That guy is actually partially correct, but not really at all. It really has nothing to do with going and getting equipment from PG&E guys or anything. It mainly has to do with just climbing and cutting holes into where the cages are, where the overhead cages are. People cut holes into there, and then they just hang down. It's part of the whole culture when it comes to graph, because it's more of a, when you see a highway sign, it's basically street cred. It's basically them showing others, I got higher than you did, and it's more of a showing off. So
have you done it, Punk?
For probably about 7 years.
Hold on, hey, have you done it?
He said for probably about
years. Oh, 7 years. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Seven
He's
years.
Been here 7 years. I hate this place.
Paint doesn't work.
Nothing works here.
Okay, here's a question for someone who doesn't know anything about this. Why do you use such happy cartoon letters to say things that I'm guessing say, come here and we'll kill you?
Well, it's not so much as happy colors, but it's a thing called style, basically. It's who has the best style, who has the most colors. Because when you see 15 different colors, that means that they brought 15 cans out there. That means that they've spent a lot more time in it. The more colors, the more...
What are the what do the signs say? What are some of the examples? I mean, what is that? I mean, it's hard to read for the average person.
Well, it's not as much as saying something, but it's saying what their name is.
It's a symbol.
Somebody's name. No, not it's like having somebody's name, basically. It's like you going up there and tagging Mike, but you wouldn't tag Mike because that's not your actual tagger name.
It all looks like...
Okay, so do you put your name, like your gang member's a legitimate name? Is that what it is?
Tagger name.
Lost him.
Tagger.
Is that what they are now, taggers?
That's what he said. He said graph and tag.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello, yeah, I'm calling in about the graffiti. I used to do this when I lived in the city. We used to work in teams. And you just pick a name, or somebody would give you a name, and you go there, put up there, and take turns, you know. We just use, like, a top track.
How do all of the, well, that guy's a bad fun, too. How do all of the taggers across the country uniformly get the artwork to look the same?
it almost looks
like the artwork when you go down to a boardwalk and someone like airbrushes
your name, that's just
on a license plate.
That's just lack of originality. You got the guys that they have those balloon letters, and that's kind of the graph style that's used around the country.
Look what we missed. I'm sorry.
Now your local on the 8.
Charlie and Harrigan.
Charlie Brown.
Harrigan. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello, you are on the air. Hello.
Hey, that particular sign actually has a workman's walk ramp under it, so they didn't have to hang. They could just stand there and paint it.
That's a catwalk.
On the catwalk.
I'm too sexy.
Too sexy for graffiti.
Catwalk.
Well, if it's got a workman's area, then they just crawl underneath it and go where the workmen go.
Right.
Exactly.
Watch out where the workmen go. Don't you eat that yellow snow.
So would the
one that you saw, do you think it had like a little catwalk under it?
I couldn't tell, Mike. It was the picture of just the signs hanging over the highway.
Right.
And then it was the obligatory shot of the news helicopter showing the 8-mile backup today from people who are confused because they didn't know why there was spray paint on the sign, telling them that an exit was up ahead.
Okay.
So,
well, it sounds like we got our answer. I mean, they use a catwalk or they hang over the side.
Yes. So, hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello. I'd like to see it done sometime.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I was down in L.A. a couple of months ago, and one of the things I noticed they do there is they wrap barbed wire around the stanchions and around the bottoms and the tops of the signs.
Right.
Because they had so many, you know, gang activity, people painting them. So they put up barbed wire, and I didn't see any graffiti on those signs.
That's a fine idea.
Yeah.
Barbed wire is an answer to a lot of solutions.
It certainly is. It's worked over the years.
What makes a Nazi? How does he get that way?
That's right. You want to clean up that graffiti problem? Barbed wire and electrified fence.
Did Germans invent barbed wire?
If they didn't, they perfected it.
Well, then there was razor wire, too, which was nastier than barbed wire.
And what you and I are fond of now at our homes, cut glass.
Cut glass on top of the stone wall.
Yes.
Which is just a fantastic technique. You glue the glass on top.
And after Labor Day, we go from live ammo to rubber bullets.
They can still inflict some damage, though.
Yeah.
Sure they can.
You know, if you hit them in the right place. Soft spots. Use rubber bullets, but aim for the soft spots.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. What's happening?
Radio Gods, what's up?
Hi.
All right. How they do it is usually it takes like 2 or 3 guys to get up on top of those signs. That way you can get it done fast without all the cars like driving by and seeing you.
Well, how come no one tapes it and puts it on YouTube? That's something I'd like to see.
Really? That would be a good tape on YouTube.
I would like to see like a time-lapse photography.
They'd have to wear like hoods, though, so you couldn't see their faces.
Well, wouldn't they already, Mike, because they're thugs?
Probably.
Don't they all dress like the bad guy on Batman?
Completely covered.
You know what I mean? The henchmen on Batman.
They wear hoods like the Zodiac.
Or the guys in Ralphie's backyard in A Christmas Story, the striped shirt and just black mask.
Yeah, with just the little Lone Ranger mask and the striped outfits.
But, you know, we never see that. But have you ever seen someone changing, like, the price at a gas station sign? You never see that either, and that happens
I do see guys up on gigantic ladders changing the numbers. I've seen that.
I've never seen that.
Never seen it either. I've never thought about it either.
Well, I think about it all the time. Call me late at night. Yeah. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about.
You somehow, the tone of voice indicates that it's somehow some sort of conspiracy.
It always is.
angers you.
What makes a Nazi?
How
does he get that way?
Razor wire.
I can recall the greatest sign change that I've ever seen, and it was in East Beach, Mesquamaket, Rhode Island, when I was growing up, and the movie was about an octopus, and the movie was entitled Tentacles, and the young toughs had gotten up and rearranged the letters so that it spelled testicle. Uh-huh. And I thought that was just about the greatest thing I've ever seen. And that required, you know, a tremendous amount of effort because it was a huge billboard for the drive-in movie theater.
I've seen that.
And I think it was either Testicle or Testicles. I'm not sure.
On a smaller note, I've got to throw it out for my son.
Yeah. Well, he did a good one, too.
Do you remember? It was a gigantic sign leading to a subdivision that said Ocean Pines. Mm-hmm. And he and my nephew Ben changed it so it said Ocean Penis.
Same letters.
And the cops drove up. As they were changing the last big metal letter.
That's right. Unfortunate.
So it's spelled
cops
penis.
Stopped them right in just in time for them to prevent the property values from falling.
That's right.
Or increasing, depending on your point of view.
We should do this right now. We'll all be happy later. Okay?
Very good.
It's a plan.
This is the Don and Mike Show.